Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's listen to the hand the fans give Daniel Lynch, assuming that he's finished. We'll see as Matheny's out there talking to him. And that's it. Let's hear what the fans have to say. A lot of fans come to their feet for the 24-year-old lefty from Virginia, and he gets a lot of high fives. He exits the game with two outs in this fifth inning.
Oh, I do have to sit down now. I was still
right.
Doing the standing ovation.
Danny Lynch, baby.
Way to go, kid.
Give it up for the woo guy, too.
He was you got to love that guy.
Got to woo that thing up.
Woo!
The only thing missing was a win.
That's right.
Spoiling the debut of one Daniel Lynch, who looked the part, no decision. 4 2/3, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, did walk 4. That looked like nerves.
Yeah, well, he said he couldn't see during the game.
Yeah, I mean,
so
that would factor in. And then
there was terrible umpiring.
Oh my God. We'll get into that, guys, but I don't know if it's me being old or whatever it is. I feel like every night now there is umpiring that is deplorable out there.
I've learned at least 2 new umpire names this year. That's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing at all.
Angel Hernandez wasn't even behind home plate last night and he tried to mess up the game. That umpire that Witt ran, or that Nicky Lopez ran into trying to make that play?
Oh, that was
Angel Hernandez.
Is he trending then?
I don't know. He's only trending if he's behind home plate.
Behind home plate.
Yeah, so he'll be behind home plate tomorrow, I believe. So tomorrow he'll be trending, Josh.
But 4 2/3, like, get him out, you know, get him out feeling like he's, hey, well, you'll get a long outing. You'll get a six-inning outing here pretty soon. Nice job on the debut. Mm-hmm. Pat, standing O, get out.
Right. Enjoy what you did for your first outing. And Franmil Reyes is coming up. The guy hit him hard twice already that night. You got a couple of runners on. Let's go. Let's get the bullpen in here, except, you know, Barlow didn't get the job done yesterday. And I think, you know, for me, you read the numbers real fast there of Daniel Lynch. And to me, it was like all white noise, because what I judged from that game yesterday was the fact that he did not look like a rookie.
Nope.
And it's the second time now, Josh, that we've seen one of these kids, or actually really the third time that we've seen, you know, these kids from the 18 draft class. And there's 3 dudes now from that 18 draft class, Bubich, Singer, and Daniel Lynch, now up at the big league club. And that's already defying all the odds to have, you know, you're 3 for 3 so far, right? And I think what we saw is now the third guy of the 3 come up to the big league level and look like he's been here before, look like it's old hat, look like it's nothing that was new or fresh or overwhelming or anything like that. He looked as in command in that game as the Cleveland hitters did for the most part in that game. And so that's what I took away, you know, from that game with Daniel Lynch last night. He just did not look like a rookie. He did not look like a guy making his major league debut. He pitched around some trouble, a couple of early doubles. His stuff looked nasty at times, but at no point did I look at Daniel Lynch and go, wow, he really looks like a guy making his first start. He looked like a true pro last night out there.
No,
on the mound.
I mean, that's the composure you've seen. So, I mean, nothing. Do we see Brady Singer sweat much?
No. Right? Do we see any emotion out of Brady Singer?
No.
I mean ever?
But that's the first thing that stands out. Like, he looks the part. Yeah. He just goes out
there's
pitches.
A video of him throwing a fit in the rain.
Well, it was like a mad face. It wasn't like really like, you know, screaming and yelling.
He threw his glove on the ground. It was.
He didn't want to get it wet. It's cowhide, man. You know what happens when the leather gets wet? It gets all wet.
Yeah. And you can't dry that out properly. So you get it. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I'm saying he pitches, leaves them out. Mm-hmm. Pitches, leaves them out. And you're like, wow, he just looks the part.
Yep.
Lynch looked the part too. I mean, he didn't look overmatched, passed the eye test, those types of things. And we've had that now with everybody, basically everybody who's stepped off the bus from the minors.
And that's a great thing, man. Awesome. That means you drafted well. It really does. I mean, the last thing you want to do is see guys who are overwhelmed out there on the mound. And we've seen that over the years with the Royals. You know, for all those years where we thought we were going to have, you know, the Chris Georges and the Dan Reichards and even the Kyle Snyders, who's one of the best pitching coaches in all of baseball. When those guys came up to the big league level and they took their spot on the mound, the Eduardo Villasis of the world, they looked overwhelmed. They look like they had something going on that wasn't right. They look like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to pitch against big league hitters. I don't think Daniel Lynch was ever fazed by anybody last night. I don't think Daniel Lynch ever went, oh my God, that's so-and-so, or oh my goodness, that's so-and-so. He just went out there and pitched. And if he can have that same demeanor and that same mindset and that same focus as we move forward with his career here in Kansas City, that's going to be awesome, because you can never let the moment get too big for you. They say that all the time, you know, try to slow it down. Don't let the moment get too big. And we've seen that out of Daniel Lynch. We've seen that out of Chris Bubich. We've seen that out of Brady Singer. Hell, we're seeing it out of Danny Duffy this year. And we'll talk about Duffy a little bit later on as well. But I think just watching Daniel Lynch pitch yesterday and pitch like a veteran and pitch like a guy who's been there before, that's what I needed to see. He wasn't all over the strike zone. He wasn't bouncing him in the dirt. He wasn't, you know, nervous. Now, maybe inside, who knows, maybe he was throwing up in the dugout, Josh, and pooping his pants and all that kind of stuff and nervous as all get out.
Fine. Who wouldn't be?
Right. But on the mound, he looked like a guy who was, you know, in his late 20s and had been doing this for the last 5 years. And it wasn't anything that was too big for him. The moment was never too big for him. And I think that's pretty cool with all of these young players that we're really seeing now get called up to this big league level. And I'm sure we're going to see the same thing with Bobby Witt Jr. when he eventually gets up here to the big league level. None of these guys feel like that moment is too big for them. And that means you got the right guys, the right mindset, the right makeup. And, you know, now it's like, all right, let's go. Let's, you know, refine a few things, tweak a few things, work on your fastball command, and get out there in 4 more days and see what you can do the second time you get an opportunity to pitch at the big league level. But so far, so good. All signs are pointing towards that 2018 draft class maybe being one of the best in Royals history if it continues to do what it's done.
Well, you just mentioned, like, defying the odds, because that mm-hmm. was my thought when the draft happened, right? Okay. We see a couple of these. You're pretty much way above like the major league average. Mm-hmm. Teams draft a ton of pitchers every year for a reason. You don't see most of them that get drafted.
Right.
They spend a lot of high draft picks on pitchers, and you're like, okay, they might not all pan out. Let's be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, okay, who's next?
Let's go get
another one. I like what I see so far. Let's get another one. And there still are some other ones down in the system, which is awesome.
Yeah, you still got Jackson Kowar down in the system, who's got the ability to be very good as well. He was that best friend of Brady Singer out of the University of Florida when they were drafted together. Singer was the first one. Kowar was the second one. Then Lynch was third. And then Chris Bubich was fourth. And obviously there are guys down there that aren't part of this, you know, this 2018 draft class that everybody is talking about. Like Asa Lacy, who I think once he gets his feet wet at the big league level, he's going to be the same way, where the moment isn't going to overwhelm him either. It's going to be, hey man, I'm just pitching, dude. That's all I do is I throw the baseball, and I don't care who's up there. And I love it. And I think you mentioned defining the odds, and you know, you draft like 10 pitchers, say, in one draft, and if three of them make it to the big league level, you're like, wow, we got three of these guys to the big league level. Well, so
and
far,
that's not three starters. That'd be like a starter, a middle reliever, and a guy who's in between AAA and the majors.
Right, like a guy's up for a flyer or something had a cup of coffee and pitched the fifth inning Tuesday.
Great.
But these guys have been starters, and I think that is even more significant. You're right, Josh. Like, we would be like, okay, they made it up here, but are you going to be content with a guy playing the role of, let's say, like Jacob Junis, where he comes in the fifth inning like he did last night, or sixth inning, or you know, whatever it was last night, he was just there to throw the baseball. No, we're relying on guys to have major roles to help you win games and to help kind of get this franchise moving back to the postseason, and so far they've all been able to do that. I'm excited now to see Jackson Kowar come up here to the big league ball club and see what he can do, and having all these guys in the same draft class too has created this intense, awesome kind of peer pressure where they're all kind of challenging each other. And Lynch even talked about that, you know, on Sunday, like, when were you ready to come up to the big league ball club? He's like, well, I see all these other dudes going up. I'm like, when's it going to be my time to come up to the big league ball club? So you have that peer pressure. You have that friendly competition. Everybody pushing each other. They all want to be up here together, you know, dominating and locked in this rotation. And I think we may have an opportunity, you know, to see that as the years go on. Singer and Lynch and Bubich and Lacey and all of these guys that we're talking about right now, kind of as fringe guys, are going to be major players in this rotation as the Royals look to get back to and win another world championship.
Mike Matheny on Daniel Lynch's debut.
He had stress just about every inning. He had guys on base and umpires calling balks on him. And I mean, just stuff that he was having to deal with that, that he was able to manage exceptionally well. And I thought he just had great poise. Thought that he just pitched great. That was exactly what we were hoping for. And he made some good pitches in the middle of their order. They got some guys that can do some damage. He was smart at times and not giving in. And that was part of the game plan too, is know when we can try to spread the zone. Then getting ground balls when he needed us to. It was just a very good first outing.
Yeah, really good for him to get out there and challenge hitters, but also keep the ball down. He kept the ball down a lot last night, too, and I thought that, you know, was kind of impressive. I'm watching him, like, every pitch is low in the zone. Every pitch is low in the zone. He's getting these ground balls. He's doing, you know, what he needs to do to get out of the inning. The defense wasn't always there for him, which is kind of becoming an issue now for me with the way that the defense plays. There's at least one play a night now where you're like, my goodness, if you just made that play, we're out of the inning. The other one last night, Whit Merrifield hits a man in the helmet as he's running down the baseline. I mean, like, he make the throw. And we've been so spoiled with Eric Hosmer.
We've got to get the bingo card of defensive weird stuff out of the way.
Out of the way. I mean, but like every night it seems like there's a miscue or an unturned double play that gives the opposition another opportunity out there. And those have really hurt the Royals. And that really hurt the Royals last night. If Whit makes a good throw over to first base, then we're out of the inning and he gets it through five. And you're talking about a five-inning start by Daniel Lynch. He did great. And he only gives up one run. And because Barlow comes in and, you know, you have a pass ball and then you can't recover from that. And he gives up a base hit and clears the bases to tie the game. He gets charged with two more runs. But it's like the plays need to be made better behind these guys. You know, we looked at what went on in April and it was great and it was wonderful. Now, how do you keep that winning going? Well, you got to make those easy plays. You got to make those double plays. You got to turn two. You got to make sure you're making those defensive plays behind these pitchers, because for the last couple of days, it seems like they're not making all the defensive plays. And when these guys don't make those defensive plays, those routine defensive plays, the big inning happens. We saw it happen with Brad Keller. We saw it happen last night, you know, in the fifth inning with the Cleveland Indians. So we've seen it over and over and over again now with this team. Go out there and make the routine defensive plays. And if they just made the routine defensive plays in a couple of more games, they probably have a few more wins under their belt right now than they do. And so it's a bonus to the Royals that they're still in, you know, first place, have one of the best records in baseball. They're overcoming a lot of things. But as we get deeper into the season, you need to start cleaning up that defense. And if you do, the results are going to be a lot better. And we've taken defense for granted, I think, because of 14 and 15 and what we saw with defense here. We just expect it to go out there and be flawless. And that's still going to be my expectation. This is still a team that needs to play pretty much flawless defense to give themselves an opportunity. And when they don't, we see the big inning happen.
Daniel Lynch pretty fired up for his first start.
I felt like I could barely see. I was so juiced up. But I just really tried to take in the moment. And it was amazing. Obviously, the most people I've ever thrown in front of. The loudest the stadium's ever been after an out. I was so shocked the first out, how loud it was. But it was just a really amazing experience. I'm super thankful.
Now you can settle in,
because
that sounds pretty overwhelming.
Right.
So if you get through the outing that you got through, there are much better outings to come, but not bad for your debut at all.
No, great debut. You can't ask for anything more. Now you take that and you build on it and you make it better than it was yesterday.
And then... You know, it could have ended the story great, though. Judas doesn't have that terrible inning.
Oh, like, I know. Yeah.
We got all this. Jacob Judas handled this so well, like a pro, and all of a sudden he's lit
five
up.
Spot. Two home runs.
Come on, man.
And he's one pitch away from getting out of the inning without giving up anything.
I know. It's just like you could have finished the story.
Yep.
Doggone it.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are planning to see, well, All of you. We'll explain next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Our hope and our mindset is that we will be in St. Joe for camp this year. That is something that the NFL has still not made a decision on. I know they'll have to have some discussions with the union on the protocols that will be surrounding camp.
That's not happening.
So we probably won't know, you know, here for a month plus. But we certainly want to be back up in St. Joe. It's been a great environment for the team. I know Andy and his staff really like being up there and think it's helped us be successful on the field.
Clark Hunt joining the drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio. And when you leave things up to negotiation, yeah.
Well, when you leave things up to the union and they really don't have a say in much of anything in the NFL, they're probably going to fight going to training camp, I would imagine.
They might.
Right?
They might.
They're not just into practicing.
Well, and just for the fight of it all.
Yeah, just feel like they won on something.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
We're not going away to training camp.
You can have training camp. We're telling our guys not to go to St. Joe.
That's right. So. You can have training camp, but we're not living in dorms. We're not using community restrooms anymore. So other than that, you can have training camp all you want, but we're not doing it on a college campus right now. And especially with COVID and all, putting everybody in one building like that, you don't want to do that kind of stuff up in St. Joe.
Are we still doing that?
I don't know, man.
If we're to the point where we're like, fans, come on in, it's safe enough for that. I feel like the NFL's kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth. If they feel like we're safe enough to gather, you know, 75, 80,000 people in a building,
sure,
but we're not willing to put 53 into
that's
a
not
door.
The NFL,
that's not
though,
the NFL,
Ryan.
Though, Ryan. That's the NFL Players Association.
Who then wants to win something.
Yeah, that's
fair. It's
not
just
the
give
NFL.
Us this, man.
Yeah, yeah. The Players Association.
Sky is blue. No.
No, it's not. It's
more
it's
of an
yellow.
Azure.
Yeah, a what?
Is A-Z-U-R-E, isn't that a color of blue?
Is it? I don't know.
Azul, I believe, is
that's how you
Spanish
say it in Spanish. For yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So, all right. So.
Well, that'd be fine, too. Yeah. You go, no, it's Azul, blue, whatever.
Whatever.
Who cares?
Right. But this clearly is setting up for the players.
He made up a color.
He did.
I don't think so.
I think
it's real.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the it's setting itself up for a nice little fight to see what happens
no,
with training
just,
camp.
Just, I mean, they'll just fight about whatever, you know? So it's,
there is, it checks out. Azure?
A-Z-U-R-E, Azure.
Yeah, eat it.
That's what you put a French dip in.
Yeah, the azure. I'll take a little azure.
That is brown. I've seen that before.
I don't want any blue azure. I mean, who wants to dip their sandwich in blue liquid? That would be disgusting. But it's really interesting to see and hear Clark Hunt say that about training camp, basically like he's laying it out. We want to be up there, but now it's up to the Players Association. And I can see the Players Association kicking and screaming. Again, as we've talked about, they've got really a couple of more months where they can milk this COVID thing and use that as the excuse as to why they don't want to practice, why they don't want to have OTAs. And that's fine. That's all well and good. And I can see them using that as a thing. Well, you know, we're going to practice, but we don't all need to be packed into one dorm living together on the same floor with two-door room.
Fine.
Can we have it here and do it at home? And everybody goes back to their own place. And I'm sure that's going to be something that definitely gets
because a lot
collectively
of team,
bargained, if you
well,
will.
Well, I'm saying a lot of teams don't do it anymore, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
There's only
I
a few.
I think it's a 50-50 split right now, and it may be even less
there's
than
only
a 50-50
split. There's only a few they could fight. So, yeah. They make an example and
but one of the teams that does want to fight are the Chiefs, and they seemingly want to be involved in offseason workouts. I don't know if you caught what Andy said yesterday when he goes, well, me, Ty, and Patrick will sit down and discuss what we think is best for the team, basically saying, I got my two leaders in here saying, man, we're going to probably be practicing. So the team here may be fighting to go away to training camp, but the NFL and the Players Association may intervene and say, well, that's just not happening. I hope it does. We need to get back to St. Joe. We need to be up there. The fans need to be up there. The players need to be up there. We need to get that normalcy back, you know, of the NFL and everything going in the right direction to get back into the start of the season, get everybody back in the flow. And I think fans want that. And I think deep down inside, the players love practicing up there in front of the fans. How could you not? You know, you're grueling through summer practice, you know, for football and getting ready for games that are months away. How does not having fans there, like, how does having fans there not get you fired up, right? play in front of 10,000 fans every practice or play in front of nobody at the Arrowhead practice facility. I would think the fans and the music and the, you know, all the pomp and circumstance to go along with St. Joe probably keeps those guys focused a little bit more and gets them fired up. So I would want to be up there if I was a player. But then again, I'm not a player and they don't win anything against the NFL. So this may be their lone opportunity to claim victory.
Yeah, that's there's where my skepticism comes. Like, yes, all of it makes sense. They should probably go. It's fine.
Yeah.
Go do what they like to be there. They find a benefit. But I'm like, there's one more thing for the NFLPA to try to win this offseason.
But some offensive lineman in Cleveland's going to demand that they don't do it and they're going to end up staying at home.
Clark Hunt asked, would he still want to go to St. Joe, even if fans couldn't be there?
We still would definitely want to go to St. Joe. It's that good of an experience for the team. I think the team gets a lot out of being together in the dormitories, eating their meals together. I certainly hope that we'll be able to have fans in St. Joe. And then turning to the season, the commissioner has already been on the record and saying that the plan is for us to be at 100% from a league standpoint. Now, there are a lot of hurdles that have to be jumped over between now and then. It will be different in different states, different markets. We'll be working with the health department here in Kansas City to figure out what's safe when we get to the season. The league also will have some discussions with the union in terms of the protocols relating separating fans from the players. So there's a lot of work to be done, but our mindset and mentality right now is we're going to be at 100%.
Cool. That's all we can ask.
That's fantastic.
We understand there are hurdles, and we understand you can't guarantee everything, but that's what everybody's working towards. Great.
Right. That's what you should be working towards.
I can't imagine, though, you go to St. Joe and they don't allow fans. I feel like that those are going to go hand in hand.
Right.
Might not be just whoever, as many people as can come. They might have limited capacity and those kind of things, and you work your way up. But I got to think it would be like, you're either, you can go to St. Joe, the NFL says, no, you're in your practice facility. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and if they go there, people will be able to go.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think that's why you go to St. Joe. You don't go up to St. Joe because, you know, it's nice in July. You go to St. Joe because it's a good facility and you can bring the fans and they can be part of, you know, everything that's going on and get an up close look at the team. And the 100% capacity thing, I'll go back and say that if you're thinking to yourself, I don't think they should do that, then feel free not to go to the games. But I mean, they're going to do what they feel is best, and you as a human being feel the need to do what you feel is best. And so if the NFL says it's 100% capacity and you don't like that and you don't want that, then feel free not to go. I mean, it's pretty simple, but I really do. I hope they are back in St. Joe.
50% capacity cars, because I really like the parking lot's not as full.
Well, yeah, that's true. The parking lot, yeah. The parking lot, I could do reduced capacity in the parking lot as well, because it's still a colossal mess out there. Trying to get in and out. I mean, good Lord, unless you get there like Tuesday.
Yeah, and I would use my transportation to my transporter thing, you know, from Star Trek, where I got in.
Yeah.
I would use that to get to Arrowhead.
To get to Arrowhead would be perfect.
I'd have to be so much less stress if that were the case. But if everybody's in the stadium, everybody's in the stadium. NFL's completely working towards it, and that's fine.
And that's what they should be doing.
I think along the way, and he says hurdles, I think a lot of the hurdles are the negotiations. Yeah, the negotiation hurdles and what's going on with the Players Association.
But if you're the players right now, Josh, you probably should think twice about fighting over capacities in NFL stadiums, because the less people that go and the less money they make ultimately is less money for you when it comes to the salary cap. It's all determined by how much money the league makes. And if players are going to fight against having full capacity, not to say that they are, because I don't think that they are, but that would be a stupid fight, because that ultimately hurts them in the end.
Yeah. Much more from Clark Hunt. He joined the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. You can check that out at 610sports.com or the Odyssey app. We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. 913-576-7610. Get those texts in now. Anything you'd like to discuss, and be careful with your mom jokes. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. 913-576-7610. Get him in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Anything you'd like to discuss. From the we told you so department, just watch this Zach Wilson in New York thing.
Oh my goodness!
We had Michael Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of asked the question.
How do we delicately phrase this?
Well, like he was asking the question. Everybody was thinking.
Right, you're good looking. You're from Utah. You're going to be in New York now. How
BYU
are you gonna
handle it? Kid moves
the
from
women.
Provo.
They're going to want to have the sex with you, Zach.
To New York. Mm-hmm. How are you going to fend them off?
Right.
How are you going to deal with the temptations of moving to hell?
Has no player like ever gone to New York for the first time in their lives?
It's as if Zach Wilson's family dropped him off on a covered carriage. And they trekked eastward, and they dropped him off at the city limits and said, "Go find your way, young man. Go to the city.
Go blaze your own
trail,
Zach."
Yeah, like I was listening to some New York stuff yesterday, talking about Zach Wilson, and they're like, "I just don't know if he's going to be able to handle the big city." And I'm thinking to myself, "What are we doing here? What are we doing with this kid? Are we acting like this guy has never, ever, ever seen the outside of the state of Utah before?"
Well,
or
he might not have, but
it is very true. He may not have, but I mean,
they do road trips and stuff. But also, he doesn't have to.
Yeah, the whole thing is like he never has to go to New York City ever. The Jets training facility is in called Morris County, New Jersey. It's where I grew up. It's a suburb about 30 minutes outside of New York. It's like, if the Chiefs had their facility in like Gardner or something like that, people would, "I don't know how he's going to handle, you know, the big city." He's like 30 minutes away from the city. Like, he never has to go there. The games are never played there. Like, he legit never, ever, ever has to go into New York City if he doesn't want to, if the city scares him, like folks are making it out to be. And
unless he wants to get that salsa that I was always hearing about.
New York City, that paste picante sauce, right?
No, that's made in Texas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All the other salsas are made in New York City.
In New York City, yeah.
You didn't know that New York was the hub of salsa production in the United States.
I didn't either. I never saw the salsa factory.
If you've heard any one of the media press conferences with the players, they ask them, "What's your favorite salsa?"
Right.
Have you tried the salsa?
When they go in New York.
Hi, have you tried the salsa here? But they're acting like this guy is like some, like, do you remember the episode of Seinfeld where George plays the tourist from Arkansas and the woman walks him around and says, oh, you'll never make it in this city. It's just too tough for you. This isn't New York City 1975 where there's drugs and hookers on every corner anymore. I mean, they've cleaned up the city. It's not like this guy's going to Mars and doesn't have oxygen or gravity or something like that. I just don't know how he's going to play on Mars without gravity. Like, okay, that's something to wonder, right? It's a city. It's a town. It's not that big a deal. And again, he's never going in there. And then, of course, the media buys into their own, like, oh, I don't know if he's going to be able to handle us, the media here in New York. Well, yeah, he can. He doesn't have to listen or read anything, and he can just live his life. I've blocked a lot of stuff out of my life over the last year, and I'm just fine for it. So I'm sure Zach Wilson can do the same thing.
If he's getting your playbook, guy, he'll tune it all out anyway. So Wilson appearing on our sister station WFAN in New York, and let's just say they were treading a fine line.
I check out the newspapers, right? When I wake up this morning, I go online. Let me just see what other people are saying about my guy. You know, and the headline of the Post is Zachpot. I'm like, all right, I like that. Not bad. The lead story, though, is not about Zach Wilson becoming the New York Jet quarterback. Your mom has become the lead story here. And I say that respectfully because people are like, the star of the first round of the draft is Mrs. Wilson because she's a very attractive woman. And I'm just wondering how awkward that is for you that you just got picked second overall in the draft and the focus is, wow, his mom is really hot. I assume you've dealt with it your whole life, but now it's playing out on Broadway. How awkward was that for you?
Yeah, it's not my favorite for sure. We like to keep her out of the spotlight, but she's an awesome lady, and I love having her support.
No doubt. No doubt. I respect that. I had to bring it up because it is on the front page of the papers today.
Yeah, he had no interest. He had no, yeah.
Hey, your mom's hot, Zach. Has she been hot your whole life?
I'd try to keep her out of it.
If we did that, could you imagine what people would do if we asked, like, a Chiefs draft pick, so is your mom hot?
You don't remember when Binkley had Abigail Ratchford on? He asked her, "How long have you been hot?"
Yeah. I mean, that was at least it was about her, though. It wasn't about like your mom, because no matter how hot your mom is, do you ever think your mom's hot? I mean, you may know you've got a good looking mom because all your buddies are like, "Hey, your mom's hot," but you never look at your mother in that kind of
Right? Like, Zach Wilson's mom looks like a mom. I mean, she's an attractive woman.
Very
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not going out of my way to let him know your mom is hot.
But like, I think your mom's getting a lot of attention,
man.
Saw one picture over draft weekend. I'm like, I know where this is going to go.
Sure.
Saw that was going to be a take, or that was going to be something that gained steam. And of course it did in New York, but it was just, you didn't have to ask him.
No, and maybe this is what's going to chase him out of New York if people
but
think his mom's
hot. He was not interested.
No. Well, what would you be like,
not
though,
at
Josh?
All. But I it mean, was great, because the follow-up was then, hey, how much do you bench press? I mean, it really took a right turn immediately after that awkward question.
It was
a minute-long awkward question. I try to keep her out of stuff.
Oh, my God, your mom's hot.
So how much you bench press?
Yeah.
I do this. I'm like, oh no.
And they're like, oh, okay, 225. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. Great.
Does the opposite of this ever happen?
No.
Women never make a big bunch to do about like someone's dad.
Oh,
being
a dad.
Hot,
I think you meant if like somebody's mom was ugly and you were going to say, boy, your mom's ugly.
Also, we don't do the same thing with sisters. Like, We don't go down this road with sisters. It's just
mom. I think so. Yeah, I think
really,
if
Zach
has a hot
Wilson
sister.
Was sitting next to his hot sister, you think they'd be like, "So, tell us about your hot sister."
If she made, absolutely.
Yes,
if it made the New York Post, yes. Absolutely.
I feel like that's a no-fly zone as compared to the mom.
Why
stuff.
Is it okay to say your mom's hot versus your sister?
I don't think it is. I'm just saying. I feel like we have more of a comfort level in saying, "Hey, your mom's hot,"
instead of your sister's.
That's
hot?
That's right.
I don't know. How old's his mother?
I mean, she's probably 40?
Something like that, right? Like mid-40s, probably.
So she's been married
probably.
For 20 years? I mean, Zach Wilson's, what, 21, 22 years old?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, so she's probably her mid-40s.
Do the math on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can Google it or check out the New York
sure
Post.
You can.
Or whichever one's the...
I don't even know Zach Wilson's mom's name. I feel
Mrs.
bad.
Mrs. Wilson.
I think you could Google Zach Wilson's mom and be and get right in the zone.
Hey, Mrs.
I feel like
Wilson!
It starts with an L. Lisa.
Lisa Wilson?
Lisa Wilson.
All right.
Carney. Carney Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's shout it out. 913-576-7610. Brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. Mention 610. Get 10% off. And don't forget to use them. It's May. Have them move your boat to the lake.
Just saying. I feel like we're just more apt to straight out be like, hey, your mom's hot.
Oh, I disagree. I think whoever's hot, you get told they're hot. My wife hears it all the time about her husband.
That's not true at all. 707, I just invented a new word, plagiarism.
I almost did a spit take there. That's really good.
You were
I was in mid-drink. Right? Yeah, that's good.
Can't do that.
No, I should not have anything to drink during Shout It Out because that was good.
People are too good.
Yeah.
Also, Zach Wilson's mom is being referred to as an Instagram star. So whatever that means.
Oh,
so
she's just quite a social media.
It's not like she's not out social media out there, you know?
816, why am I not surprised that radio jock sniffers go there with his mom being hot? Oh, yeah, that's it,
yeah.
That's a radio.
She's on Instagram and
radio jock sniffers. I've never smelled a jock in my entire life.
I don't know if he was referring to
us. I smelled
a
hockey locker room, and it's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
I don't know if he was referring to us as the jocks.
But even still, I mean, come on.
I don't feel like that's exclusive to radio.
No. There are jock sniffers. I can name a few.
Radio is reacting to the public's reaction.
Sure. Right.
These public jock sniffers. 707, bananas are actually berries.
Yes, I've heard that.
I'll take your word for
that. Yeah, I've heard that before. Again, feast or famine at my house with the bananas. Buy bananas. We need bananas. I buy the bananas. Nobody eats them. They go rotten. Huh. If you buy them, then they all eat them. There's never enough bananas.
It's a real predicament you're going through. You don't like banana bread over there?
How many times do you make banana bread? And how much do you really want to eat banana bread?
I'm not going to sit here and make banana bread.
When the bananas go bad, put them in a baggie, throw them in the freezer.
But then how many times do you want banana bread?
Yeah,
then you make banana bread, nobody eats the banana bread
either.
Right,
exactly. You know what I'm talking about. It's
make
feast
muffins,
or famine.
I just buy the, whatever, 6 or 8 bananas knowing that half of them are going to get eaten
thrown
and
away.
The rest of them are thrown away.
It's ridiculous. So my wife used to get mad at me because I went to the grocery store every day. We never had wasted food.
The good news is they're cheap.
Yeah.
But they're priced, so you throw half of them away.
Right. And so still, you're throwing like 30 cents away.
913 says, my work is doing the guardrail for the new 4-mile racetrack in the Ozarks. You got to check it out. It's going to be badass.
Cool.
It's called Ozark International Raceway.
How big is that going to be? Is that going to be like with the possibility
four
of doing...
4-mile track.
Is that the possibility of having NASCAR races down there then?
4-mile track.
Isn't the Kansas Speedway just a mile oval?
I would assume this is like a road track.
A road course kind of thing? That'd be cool.
They're putting guardrails in, so yeah, probably a road track.
Like one of those Le Mans races type thing?
Well, that's like 24 hours.
Yeah. But that's like a road course,
right?
My
buddy just went out to I-70 Speedway over the weekend. They just redid that place.
Brand new. It's awesome. Yeah.
It looks tremendous. So
our friend Stacy owns that, who runs the Raytona 500.
I have to get out there and check that out. California sucks, says the 702. That's really about all they offered. Did Bob ever work with Captain Frank? Asked the 972. I don't know if that's a setup for something.
I don't know.
Can't wait for Cinco de Mayo. We'll be porking myself all day with carnitas.
Nice.
Enjoy. So you're going to have Taco Tuesday and then Cinco de Mayo? So, like, you're going to do that 2 days in a row?
Well, yeah, May the 4th.
Yeah, and that's right. Today
and Taco Tuesday.
And Taco Tuesday.
I mean,
big day today.
Oof.
Yeah, big day.
Someone giving me a shout-out said, thanks for doing a great job for us. I feel like you're just making up for me saying I never get thanked.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
nice
that's
job.
Exactly what
nice
it is.
Job. Yep. Go for it.
816 says, come on, you never smelled your own jock growing up. I'm calling BS.
No, I don't sniff my jock. Of course, I never wore a jock.
You're telling me not one time have you ever sniffed your fingers?
Sniff my fingers? What the hell are you talking about?
To see if you smell?
It's under your armpits like that woman on Saturday Night Live where you just put your nose down your shirt.
Mary Catherine Gallagher.
That's it, Mary Catherine Gallagher. Yeah.
Just sniff it just
a
quick.
Oh, God.
Or maybe even just like wiggle your fingers in front of your nose.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm the gross one.
You're going to make me throw up this morning.
Oh, I'm the gross one now.
Yes. I think I wore a jock in like 6th grade, and that was it. And my God, nobody wears that anymore.
This is the 2021 text of the day. Bob, why not give the food to the homeless instead of just letting it go to waste?
Good grief.
You should. You should be making banana bread for the homeless.
Mm-hmm. You ever try to give food to the homeless and see what happens? They turn
it's
it down.
It's very difficult
to do. It's
very
hard to do.
Especially, I'm guessing, even harder now.
Right.
COVID.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with the sentiment, though, Texter. Yes, we should stop wasting so much food. There are people. There's starving children in Indiana who would love that.
There's a lot of places right now that are throwing away a lot of food and have been forever. But if you try to donate it, it's ridiculously impossible.
913 calls it a ball check, by the way. Because everybody has done it.
I powder.
Huh. May the fourth be with you, says the 913.
And also with you.
Thank you. Someone says you can tell Fesco is lying by the tone in his voice.
I don't lie, because I can't remember my lies.
And 5 years clean and sober for Big Mark. Shout out Big Mark.
Way to go, man. Awesome. Congratulations.
We didn't hear from Bacon Slaw last week after he had that tremendous spread to start the week. What did he say he was eating? He said it sounded...
I think bacon and slaw.
No, that's not what bacon slaw was eating.
How do you get better than bacon and slaw?
When Bob replies with a question, he's lying. He knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it does come off like a stall tactic. That's how my son acts. Who left this out? Who left what out? Who left that? What'd you say?
Nobody leaves anything out.
Ever.
Ever. Somebody else does.
That's all you got.
That's where we're learning with kids, that's actually.
It's Teacher Appreciation Week this week, by the way.
Don't know how you do it.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm very appreciative. Don't know how you do it.
See, this is every time we have one of these weeks, I go back to the idea of us wanting to do appreciation weeks for other jobs. Because there's like Nurses Appreciation Week and Teacher Appreciation Week. All that I think deserves appreciation. I also think there are other jobs that don't get appreciated.
Such as?
Like sanitation workers, people that are like garbage men. No, who's thanking them, right? Your mailman gets something in the mail. Like, most people give them like a Christmas card, or if it's hot outside, they'll leave like a bottle of water by their mailbox or something like that.
I offer the garbage guys stuff all the time. If I see them and they're out there and they stop, I always offer them water or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. Sometimes they'll even send an envelope for a tip for Christmas. I'll put something in it and leave it on top of the garbage can.
But you've never sniffed your own balls.
No, I don't go around sniffing myself. No.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out.
You don't leave a tip for the garbage man?
Text line.
No, I don't.
I've never paid for that service.
Right. I thought that was the end of my like consumerism.
You don't
this.
Have to get out of the truck anymore. It looks pretty awesome.
It's like his arm that goes up. He doesn't smell my trash.
You don't need to ever get rid of some things every once in a while that maybe they're not supposed to take.
Now Bacon Slaw's back. Chicken and ribs last week. It was buffalo burgers this week.
Text line remains open at 913-576-7610. Terry Bradshaw was giving away his money, remember, during football season?
No.
He's not giving you money this time, but it may be even better.
Getting money.
He goes off on QBs next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I don't know why.
Because I love you?
But I know at some point it's going to end badly for Terry Bradshaw.
Well, yeah, probably.
Right? I mean, he's just got it written all over it. It's on Fox. You liked him as kind of a goofy character for a while.
Right.
That show he did with William Shatner was terrible.
It was that promotion, Win Terry's Money, this season.
I missed that.
He's just kind of like...
I don't think that was Terry's money.
I don't think it was either.
What did you have to do to win Terry's money?
Similar to the same type of stuff you had to do to win Ben Stein's.
Oh, you had to answer questions?
That's right.
You got to beat Terry Bradshaw in a contest?
Bueller.
Lift more than Terry?
Whatever happened to Ben Stein? Is he still with us?
I believe so.
I think he is, yeah. You know, he was a speechwriter for one of the presidents back in the day.
Yeah. I think he had to, like, pick games against him or something. I don't know. It was something like that on Fox.
Mm-hmm. 76 years old.
That's it?
That's right. He's worth more than Kenny Loggins.
Is he Ben Stein? How much is he worth?
$20 million.
Oh yeah, he blows Kenny Loggins out of the
See,
water.
See, that doesn't make that. I'm not going there. That doesn't make
Josh,
any sense.
After he gave away his money for so many years, you could have won his money for so many years. He still has more than Kenny Loggins.
How much is he making off of Ferris Bueller?
Kenny needs another agent or something because somebody's done Kenny wrong.
I'm with you on this. Like, I'm going to continue to go back to this. You would think that the residuals from Footloose and Danger Zone would carry Kenny Loggins for the remainder of his days, and Kenny Loggins' children, the little Loggins, I believe is what he calls.
Well, how much money is he making?
The failed
Loggins?
The Lincoln Loggins?
He's making money off of Ferris Bueller, right? Bueller.
No,
I'm sure he's
not
getting
any money
off of that.
Barely.
Every time they show that movie on TV.
You think he negotiated some upfront, like, I get residuals from Ferris Bueller money? No.
What about Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Ben Stein's very intelligent.
You know, all of that. And I'm sure Ben Stein's money was in reruns.
Like somebody
and he's
ripped
money
off Kenny
of
Loggins, and I want to know who.
I haven't seen an episode of Win Ben Stein's Money in a decade.
Oh, at least more than a decade. It has to be more than a decade. But also, wasn't he in like an episode of Wonder Years where he's probably making some residuals off of that?
No.
I mean, I'll never forget when we had Kenny Banyan's studio and he talked about the check coming every month and how great it was.
Yeah, I think by that point in time, the Seinfeld people probably were on it, but you can't tell me Ben Stein's making any money.
Maybe he's got a pension or something.
Ben Stein's a lawyer. I didn't know.
Well, there you go.
He was a lawyer. I knew that.
Okay. So
there you go. That's where he's got.
Yeah, that's why he's got money. He's out here doing
more
than
Kenny Loggins. He's actually doing a real job.
Kenny Loggins needs new people. He should be way higher tax bracket.
Well, why don't you offer your assistance to Kenny?
I don't know. I don't have any of that knowledge. I'm just saying, Kenny.
I told you,
wrong.
Kenny's touring right now. You buying tickets to his concert?
Kenny shouldn't
help
be
up that value.
He shouldn't be at the back of the theater selling CDs at the end of it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You think he's playing like the Ferret Sedalia or something? Is that Kenny Loggins style now?
Kenny Loggins just crying himself to sleep, singing Danger Zone.
Like midway to the he's got to change it. He's changed it to Midway. County Fair. Yeah, I know.
I can't believe I still have to do this.
It's wrong. Anyway, so Terry Bradshaw's money, that's where we're at.
Bradshaw's worth more than Kenny Loggins?
But
I would imagine. Yeah, probably so.
Probably is.
I mean, he's been on TV for almost 30 years now.
Fine, Ryan, I'll oblige. Just look it up.
Did we just find a new game?
Who's worth more than Kenny Loggins?
Maybe.
Loggins or Bradshaw?
He's worth more. He's $45 million is what the internet says.
And still making. He's probably making $2 million a year to do that Fox pregame show.
Yeah, he's
like three times what Kenny Loggins is
worth.
Oh,
man.
So Terry Bradshaw never wrote The Danger Zone.
No, he did not. Well, he's starting to ride The Danger Zone. That's what's funny. He's turned more Goose Gossage every day, which is fantastic for
us. That was another edition of Worth More Than Kenny Loggins.
yes, it might be. So Terry Bradshaw had some things to say about Aaron Rodgers on WFAN.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. Now, I don't know what was said behind the scenes. I don't know if he said, look, I'll play this year, and then I want out of here, and they said, fine. Then he's the MVP in the league. I don't know. None of us know, unless he told some insiders, and they're saying if I don't hear it. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. And then if they fire the general manager, he'll come back. Are you kidding me? Really? Aaron, that's where this is. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't budge. Let him gripe. Let him cry. Retire. You're 38. Go ahead and retire. See you later. I mean, I'm really strong about stuff like that, and it just makes him look weak. In my way of looking, it makes him look weak.
Terry Bradshaw and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Went on to say, go host Jeopardy.
My favorite part of that was the two hosts.
Back away. Let him go.
Like Terry's on to something here. Let him stew a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
See where he goes.
Turn off the microphone and let him go.
I'd call his bluff.
Yeah.
Although there's a lot of it, I even though it's, you know, sounds a little bit rambling, old man, which is terrific, I don't disagree. Like the oh, my feelings are hurt. You didn't tell me there was a court. All that stuff really does get on me. And now you're going to demand, allegedly demand the him or me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should get to that point. I don't think I would want to be a franchise that puts it to that situation, because it'd be hard to come back from. I think if you fired the general manager and just said, hey, you're doing exactly what we staked you to do, but you got to go because the quarterback's pissed at you.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the spot to be in, if you're the Packers, is you drafted Jordan Love, right?
Okay.
If you think he's good, you actually move on. You do move on Aaron Rodgers. If you're convicted that he is really good,
mm-hmm.
and he's your next franchise quarterback, and he's just sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, and if you're lucky enough to be Green Bay to go from Favre to Rodgers to Love and have it work, more power to you. But if you really think that's the case, then move on. Like, send him on his way,
mm-hmm.
and be willing to live with it.
Right. Yeah.
Might be risky, but be willing to live with it. If you believe he's good, you really have nothing to worry about.
Well, and that's an interesting point and an interesting way to look at it. I will say this. There's not many great quarterbacks in the NFL. Believe me, we know here in Kansas City. We have seen them. Aaron Rodgers is one.
The odds of you having three in a row.
Not very good. Ooh. Not very good. I mean, the odds of you having two in a row aren't very good, you know? So you've got this guy here right now who is one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, comma. But Aaron Rodgers has been an individual that has been sulking since the day he was drafted into the NFL. He's been bitter. He's had a chip. He's complained. He's blamed everybody else. He's never accepted responsibility for anything. But that doesn't change it. He's still one of the best in the NFL. And when it's very hard to find a quarterback in this league, I don't want to give up on that quarterback. And it's not like Aaron Rodgers is coming off a season where he played 8 games and was hobbled and he'd seen better days. He is coming off an MVP type of season. And so I understand.
And you lost that. You lost that bet already.
Yeah. Well,
in their heart of hearts.
Yeah.
Brian G, the
was hoping that Aaron Rodgers would have failed last year. They could have
started to look old.
But he didn't look
old.
And you
lost.
So now you're in a spot where Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl at what, 41, 42, 43 years old, whatever it is down in Tampa. Aaron Rodgers saw that happen right before his eyes. He sees where this league is going when it comes to the quarterbacks. I mean, Peyton Manning played without a neck his last year, you know, in Denver because of, you know, the ability to protect the quarterback now and how, like, illegal it is to even look at the quarterback. He sees a lot of these guys playing deeper and deeper into their, you know, into their 30s and 40s and wants to be a part of it. And as far as I'm concerned, with all the baggage that Aaron Rodgers does bring, with all the complaining, with all the sulking, with all the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on right now, he's still better than probably about 30 other starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and I would not want to give him up right now and then have the fear that Jordan Love isn't what I wanted. And if there's even a shadow of a doubt up there in Green Bay, I still am on the side of we got to keep Aaron Rodgers happy. And if it means firing the general manager, then maybe you give him a huge check to go away and take care of him for the rest of his life. But you've got to protect the franchise. And right now, Aaron Rodgers is that franchise. And it's going to be hard to get better than what you have with Aaron Rodgers. He was better than Brett Favre because he didn't throw as many interceptions as Brett Favre. But to get somebody that's going to be better than Aaron Rodgers on the same level as Aaron Rodgers or just a tick below Aaron Rodgers, I think you're wishing and hoping, because we've seen so many quarterbacks go through this league and fail miserably. And so it is a rock and a hard place. I get the side of, you know, you got to think of the organization over the player, but there are just some players right now in this league, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers to name two, that are just more valuable than the franchise is.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station. Yeah, I mean, I would probably roll out the what is it going to take to make this right, short of firing the general manager, because I still don't think you probably open the door to do that. But you've also, if you're the Packers, you have to go a little bit hat in hand. It sounds like they tried to.
Yeah.
Sounds like they tried to. It still might not be good enough.
Right, and if he's not willing to work with him, then maybe you do have to move on.
You might get to the point where Aaron Rodgers is like, oh, we could do everything possible. He's just not going to be happy.
Right.
And so we go ahead and move him. And we have belief. We drafted this guy for a reason. We've seen him practice. We think he can be our next guy. Maybe there will be a drop off for a little bit, but it is just time for us to move on. And you got to move on there too.
But what are the Broncos and Raiders going to offer Aaron Rodgers that's going to make him happier than being the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers?
Nothing.
Right
I think
now,
it's a
right?
dumb move for him to go to the AFC.
Well,
but
I agree. But for any team, I mean, you're not going and falling into the lap of Andy Reid. You're going to Vic Fangio and maybe John Gruden maybe has some sort of semblance about what a quarterback should do. I don't know that I could say that he does, but those aren't exactly like destination spots right now. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, it's not like you're going to a ready-made franchise that's just a quarterback away from doing some amazing things. Denver probably closer than Oakland is when it comes to talent on the roster. But you look at the coaching staff of the Denver Broncos right now, you've got, you know, a guy who's your offensive coordinator who's been fired twice as an NFL head coach and bounces around from job to job to job to job every single year, Pat Shurmur. And then you've got Vic Fangio, who's a defensive-minded head coach that probably only has 1 or 2 years left because of where he is, pushing 70 right now. So, you know, that's not exactly the best situation to be in. I don't think Denver's like a ready-made franchise to go out there and win a title right now if Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden becomes the quarterback. I just think, you know, if you're Aaron Rodgers, also be careful what you wish for, because you may get it and you may end up being Joe Namath at the Rams. I mean, where it's just like you go and nobody remembers who you are, and it's a terrible way to go out. And so I think you got to be careful what you wish for. But if you can't resolve it, then maybe Green Bay has to move on. But I think you do everything in your power to try to resolve it because of how good a quarterback Aaron Rodgers truly is. And you want to make it work with one of the best that's ever played this game. But I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can ever be happy. He just doesn't seem like a happy individual, no matter what it is. Every picture you see, he looks like he's sulking. He's upset. And like I said, he's been mad since the day he was drafted into this league because he wasn't taken number one by the team that he wanted to be taken number one by.
Oh, Terry Bradshaw's still going?
He's still
talking.
Is he entitled to help run the front office? Is he entitled to have
no
say in the draft? No. He's entitled to one thing, and that's to play quarterback. He has no right. He has no say in anything they do. Out of respect for him, they may say, hey, Aaron, we're going to do this or do that. They did that when they drafted their quarterback last year. He has no right for any of that. He is a player, a great player. So he has no right. And having said all those things, now he hasn't said anything about the players that I know. And that's one thing. His argument, his fight is with the front office, not the players. The players understand that. So I don't think, Mark, that is going to be an issue unless he brings the players into it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Yeah, the general manager, evidently, he can't stand that guy.
No.
And And evidently, he's from my understanding, he's told him he wanted out a long time ago. So, shouldn't have signed that extension.
That's a good point by Terry. If you didn't like it there, why'd you sign the extension?
He just may be one that's just not going to be happy for the remainder of his.
I don't think he's a happy person. I don't think no matter what you do can make Aaron Rodgers happy.
So Where do you think he ultimately ends up? Because I still feel like Denver's very much in play.
Is very much in play.
Would scare me in the division, make things a lot closer in the division. I'm not following what Vegas is doing. I don't know if Vegas knows any more than anybody else. I think they're trying to get you to lay money down on whatever. Sure. But they are the favorite. Denver's the favorite to be there. And the Packers' Super Bowl odds have taken a massive slip back, assuming he's not going to be there. But Denver still feels like the play at the end of it. Cause I don't even think giving him more money and more assurances and whatever. I feel like it sounds like it's past that point.
It sounds like he wants to go. And I'll say this for the Green Bay Packers, at the end of the day, they don't have to do anything. They just have to, you know, and if you want to retire,
which is very hard to do.
Yeah. But if I
don't buy the retirement thing either. Is he going to retire at 38?
No,
he's not.
He's not.
Especially since he's won just one Super Bowl too. Like I feel like that looms pretty large on top of it.
Year,
but I mean, I think the thing that I really hate about what Bradshaw is saying, and naturally you guys know I'm going to jump to the defense of Aaron Rodgers on this. Like I think number one, Terry Bradshaw is not putting any context to this whatsoever. Like it always seems trivial, the straw that breaks the camel's back, but it's a culmination of things, right? It's not just this one instance, right? Like I saw the reports floating around yesterday that Aaron Rodgers, like it was the final nail in the coffin whenever they wouldn't sign Jake Kumrow or whatever the hell that guy's name was.
right? Mm-hmm. Tim Krumrie, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't Tim
Jake Krumrie. Jake Kumerow, he's the Garrick Dieter of the Green Bay
Packers. That's right. Like, that was the death nail for Aaron Rodgers. And while we all sit back and we're like, really? That guy, that's what's going to cause you to lose your stuff? It's a culmination of all of these things over a decade-long career. And then whenever that occurs, like, it's just, it seems trivial. I also think that Terry Bradshaw, when he says he doesn't have the right to complain about things, these quarterbacks absolutely do. I mean, we judge these guys' legacy and whether or not they were good NFL players based on how many Super Bowl rings they have on their finger. And as long as that's the case, as long as there's this separate way to measure quarterbacks in the NFL versus every other player in the NFL, like, as long as that's the case, I think that these guys should absolutely be able to pipe up and say, hey,
our team sucks. I don't disagree.
We need to do this better. Yeah. We need to draft this better. I would like for more attention to be paid to this particular aspect of the game. Like, I mean, those guys all have it. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Russell Wilson. Like, I mean, all of these guys who are currently locked in these, you know, disputes with their organization, it's not about I want more money. It's about I want more security in my job and I want our team to win more.
Get yourself Diamond Select at 119th and Row. Mother's Day is almost here. That's right, this weekend here. So, yeah, surprise, surprise for those of you that catches you off guard. Well, get yourself to Diamond Select. They'll take care of you. 119th and Row. All the details at DiamondsDirect.com. They put together an incredible collection of Mother's Day gifts, timeless and meaningful, and she can enjoy them for years to come. Talking about a birthstone ring, stackable rings, diamond earrings, earrings with colored gemstones, eternity bands, pendants, pearls, or maybe a new center diamond for an engagement ring or a three-stone ring. They can take care of you at Diamonds Direct like they've taken care of me. And for this occasion, Diamonds Direct has asked their designers, hey, send us a lot of new and unique fashion jewelry as well. It's a lot of fashion-forward pieces that any woman will love. The selection is great. The prices are great. The service is fantastic as well. And check out their Mother's Day collection right now at Diamonds Direct. You can get all the store hours. You can get the directions at DiamondsDirect.com. Get yourself into Diamonds Direct at 119th and Row. Anniversary right now, 2009.
Mm-hmm. Long time ago.
Okay, but you think in terms of a Royals anniversary, there's some correlation between 2009 and what's happening right now.
Yeah, I was watching, what was I watching yesterday? I don't know, SportsCenter or something like that. They were talking about players of the month of April and in Major League Baseball, and the AL pitcher of the month is Gerrit Cole. And look, he's 4-1 with a 1.43 ERA and 62 strikeouts through six starts. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive, the numbers that he's put up so far this season. But again, I saw that yesterday. I immediately started thinking, all right, here we already go. Danny Duffy is going to get lost in the Cy Young conversation because Gerrit Cole is doing good things, pretty really good things, and he's doing it in New York, and that's going to trump no matter what anybody does in Kansas City, which is bogus because what Danny Duffy is doing right now, he doesn't have the strikeout numbers, obviously, that Gerrit Cole does, but he's got an ERA that is at 0.60 with a 4-1 record as well. So he's got the same record, not that that matters in the Cy Young, but he's giving up less than half a run per game more or less than Gerrit Cole is doing right now. And so Duffy, in my opinion, is in that conversation, needs to be in that conversation, and should be in that conversation for the Cy Young Award. Because this date in 2009, the year Zach Greinke won the Cy Young Award here in Kansas City, Josh, he was winning at an alarming rate. He had already picked up his sixth win on this date in 2009, struck out 10, and lowered his ERA to 0.40 and was in that discussion for that Cy Young Award. And I think right now, anybody not putting Danny Duffy up there with the best pitchers in the American League and talking about him in that same conversation as a Gerrit Cole in competition for that Cy Young Award is doing it wrong. And I'm going to continue, as long as Danny continues to pitch like this and dominate like he has, I'm going to continue to bang the drum that he needs to be in that Cy Young Award conversation because he's putting up similar numbers as Zach Greinke had on this date in 2009, the year that he won that Cy Young Award.
Zach Greinke struck out 10 that game. So, I mean, Gerrit Cole right now is averaging 10 strikeouts a game. Yeah. I think the modern era, Nolan Ryan had like 380-something strikeouts in a season, which is like the highest of any pitcher in the modern era. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gerrit Cole's, he's not on that pace, but he's he's getting pretty damn close.
Well, and for Danny Duffy, everybody just either strikes out or hits a home run anyway. He's probably going to stack those numbers.
Someone should tell Danny Duffy that, because he's not striking out as many people as Gerrit Cole. And I feel like he's you know, 2-3 runs away from being completely out of that conversation. I mean, I don't disagree with you. When you look at the ERA, it's impressive. I mean, anytime a guy has a sub-1 ERA and has made 5 starts, you start going, man, there's something good going on there, right? I mean, Gerrit Cole is at about 1.5, and he's made 6 starts as well. So that's a sustainable pace for Gerrit Cole, a guy who hasn't had an ERA north of 3 in, you know, 4 years. Danny Duffy's done that one time. He's had an ERA lower than 3. So I think the sustainability is the biggest thing for me. Danny Duffy isn't throwing as many innings as some of these guys that are up in that conversation, and he certainly isn't striking out as many. So as soon as that ERA becomes, you know, back to normal, or even kind of comes to, you know, what the average in Major League Baseball is, like if he had Gerrit Cole's ERA, it's not even a conversation about who's the best pitcher if the ERA is exactly the same for he and Gerrit Cole.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. Maybe Danny Duffy just has one of those seasons that we sit back and go, I can't believe what we're watching. And we're still talking about an ERA around 1 come, you know, midsummer.
I mean, this is how silly Gerrit Cole is, though, right now. I mean, Duffy's got 5, 6, 8, 8, and 7 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Cole has 10 in every game. Yeah.
I mean, it's like stupid ridiculous right now for him. But, and then Duffy won 1 outing of 7 innings. That was his last go round. So he's seemingly getting better as well. So keep up that pace. We can worry if he's in the conversation later. Just keep pitching well.
Just keep doing what you're doing, yeah.
And then if he ends up being there, because I don't know that even through 6 games, you are convinced it was going to stay for Greinke?
Probably not, because you're a Royals fan and you're waiting for the next wheel to fall off, right?
Were we anticipating every single start? Yeah. I always want to get to that level where you're just...
Aren't you anticipating every Danny Duffy start now, though,
not
too?
Quite yet.
Not yet.
I'm still looking. I'm still looking to find out. I mean, it's Thursday. I'll tell you, Thursday afternoon.
I'll be there.
But you're not probably on pins and needles quite Greinke like yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Well, because hopefully you also have Singer and Lynch and guys like that in the rotation that are pretty awesome to watch, other than whatever else is being rolled out there.
In your words, turd birds.
I don't know if anyone's ever going to get to that Zach Greinke level with me, because like to me, 1 run is all you needed was Zach Greinke. That's what it felt like. As soon as you got 1, you're like, game's over, we won.
Yeah. He's actually a big fan of the Chiefs offseason, like an A-plus fan. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.